Good afternoon, it's 12:07. This is Midday Matters on WBOI Fort Wayne. I'm Sean Beter. This, of course, a special pledge drive edition of our program. And as we have so often done in the last few years, we're going to turn the questions back on ourselves for an hour and explore the state of public radio and the state of WBOI and Northeast Indiana Public Radio. This is the Pledge Drive edition of our show, of course, and with me to chat just a little bit about the drive and how it's going, it's David Hunter, our membership manager. Dave, we have a new goal this hour, as we so often do during this week.
We do. We have a goal of 6 pledges and $600, so you can help get us off to a good start towards that goal at 1-800-471-9264 or online at nipr.fm. You know, you trust WBOI to bring you the news as it is, and we trust you to give what you can to support it. So please give us a call this hour, 1-800-471-9264, or you can pledge safely and securely online at nipr.fm.
And Dave, Midday Matters is just one of a number of local programs that folks regularly tune in for and regularly support, and we will be checking back in with you and others throughout the hour to see how things are going. We certainly hope you'll pledge. Just 6 people pledging their support will make the difference this hour. Dave Hunter, thanks very much for all your efforts this week and for being with us so far today.
Thank you, Sean.
All right. We're going to turn our attention now to the other folks in the studio. With me, as usual, Bob Kaler from the Fort Wayne News Sentinel. Bob, how are you doing today?
Pretty good.
Been listening to the Fun Drive?
A little bit.
A little bit.
It's unavoidable. You're in the habit of listening to public radio. You get swept into the fun.
That's right. With us as well, it's our new general manager. Not so new anymore, I suppose, Peter. Peter Dominowski, thanks very much for getting in the hot seat today and chatting public radio with us.
It's my pleasure, Sean. I've been here now for about a month and a half, coming up on 2 months, so I'm still semi-new, I guess.
Semi-new. That's all right. And of course, we want you, our listeners, to get involved in the conversation as you do every week on this program. The number, well, it's the same to pledge, and it's the same to get your call through, 800-471-9264. Or if you'd like to make your pledge of support online, you can go to nipr.fm. We also have our Facebook page up where you can ask questions and leave comments, and you can tweet us at Midday Matters. Peter, let's get right to the heart of things. You've been here for 6 weeks now. You've kind of gotten a sense of the station and of the community. Give us some not first impressions exactly, but maybe second impressions on the health of our station financially and in terms of programming.
Well, I think we have several assets, notably among them an incredibly dedicated and hardworking staff. Few of them would say that about themselves on the air, but people like Sean Beter and Katie Anderson and Sarah D'Elia and many, many others that are behind the scenes consistently put in very, very long and very, very difficult work days because they're very dedicated to their jobs and very dedicated to serving the community. So it's great as a manager to be working with people who have that dedication and show it not just in their words, but their deeds. And I guarantee anyone who's thinking about providing financial support to the station, you'll get a very excellent rate of return given how hard members of the staff work.
Bob Kaler.
You've been in public radio other places. Do you have a sense of how the breadth and depth of volunteer, actual hands-on volunteer support here at the station compares with other stations?
Well, stations vary widely. There are some stations that are almost set up to be primarily operated by volunteers. I would not put our stations in those category, in that category. I would put our station in a category of being a professional public radio station that uses folks from the community as an additional asset. I would say, based on that, we probably have a somewhat higher level of participation than is average. And I would say the national trend, if there is such a thing, would be to professionalize rather than volunteerize most of the programming on public radio stations.
There would be something lost by doing that, because I like the change that I've seen over the last few years, where there is more and more volunteer involvement up to the level of being on air hosts, and that's a change that helps wire in a reflection of the community that this is.
Well, I'm neither defending nor decrying either of these approaches. I'm just talking about the trends, and that's what I thought part of the question was, and that's the trend, at least from where I sit.
Okay.
Peter, can you give us some, I know a lot of our listeners are probably somewhat aware of this, but public radio and this station particularly are coming out of some difficult times, and I'm curious where you see the trajectory of the station headed. I think there's a sense about WBOI and NIPR that things are definitely looking up, and I'm curious, if you share that sentiment, where that sentiment might come from.
Well, due to the great work of our current and past recent board members, as well as past management, there are some problems the stations have had for a while that, while not solved, are well on their way toward being improved. One, it's not a secret that the station has had a significant amount of debt due to a decision to buy a second frequency in the past at a very inflated, unfortunately, higher than market price. And again, the folks that made those decisions are not here anymore, and I'm not even really criticizing them. I'm just saying that's a fact, and those of us that are in these seats now have to live with those decisions and the consequences. And the board and past recent management took some really, really, giant strides toward relieving that burden, so increasingly we can take more of the funds we receive from our listeners and other sources and apply that directly to our programming now rather than the debts of the past.
We're talking about the state of public radio and the state of NIPR on today's Midday Matters, and we want your questions and comments. Give us a call, 800-471-9264. You can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. Peter, maybe you can give us kind of a sense, more broadly speaking, because you've been in the business for several decades now, seen a lot of radio stations, seen public radio itself evolve. Can you tell us just a little bit about that evolution, both in terms of kind of the national scene and what where stations have headed more, just generally?
Well, the overwhelming direction for most public radio stations in the past decade or so has been the increased concentration on news and information, and becoming either primarily or exclusively news and information stations. There's at least a couple of reasons for that. One is that, especially as the internet age came to be, it was found that, while there are, many interesting and valuable music-related programs on public radio, in most cases, those can be found someplace else. But there is virtually nowhere in the world where you can duplicate the NPR news programming or the NPR news style if it's applied to local stations. And so that's become an increasingly valuable part of the franchise, if you will, of public radio. So that's one of the trends I see. The second trend is, as we've studied the way people use public radio stations, in other words, the way they listen to them, we have found that stations with multiple formats serve far fewer listeners, far less effectively than stations that have single formats or that are focused on programming that appeals to a common singular audience. And if you think about it, it's really not that hard to understand why. If you look at the commercial spectrum, most people, may think of their radio stations as a button in their car radio. One button means country music. One button means classic rock. One button might mean sports talk or what have you. When a station is trying to serve multiple audiences with one signal, it kind of dilutes their message and their position in the market, if you will, and makes it harder to appeal to a core group of listeners as these other stations do.
You and I have talked about this several times, but at time was that a lot of stations, and this was several decades ago, but stations weren't necessarily programming with with listeners in mind. I think the journalism ethos at NPR and public radio stations maybe was toward listener service, as it seems like it has been since the start. But hasn't always been true in terms of broader programming, broader programming knowledge.
No, it hasn't. I've been fortunate enough to be in public radio since the mid-1970s when the industry was in its infancy. And frankly, few of us in the industry knew anything about how radio worked, about who listened to radio, about effective programming practices. So that knowledge has evolved tremendously over the years. In fact, this is a literally true fact that even up through the early 1980s at national conferences about public radio, there were debates on the programs that the proposition essentially was, should listeners be considered in making program decisions? And there was a large contingent of people that felt they should not be. It was a very, a kind of an extension of our public radio's university roots and the ivory tower, we know what's best, or what we sometimes call castor oil radio, swallow it, it's good for you, sort of programming rather than being audience and community responsive, which is our focus today.
That'll probably be the most shocking thing I hear today. I mean, it's like that's the sad parody of public radio is like, from the castle to the peasants.
Right.
And that's not how it works here.
No, and it's changed rapidly, and there are a few, if any, stations that practice that philosophy, and we certainly do not practice that philosophy here at WBOI and WBNI. We are listener-focused, and we do our very best, given our resources, to respond to listener and community needs.
We're talking today about the state of public radio and the state of Northeast Indiana Public Radio. And we want to hear from you today. If you have a question or comment for our general manager, Peter Domanowski, call us 1-800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. And because this is a pledge drive edition of our program, we're hoping you'll pledge your support to Northeast Indiana Public Radio. This hour, we're looking for 6 pledges and a total of $600, and we hope you'll be one of them. You can use that same number to get in touch with us, 1-800-471-9264, or you can pledge on our website, nipr.fm. We're going to take a quick break. We hope you'll give us a call during that 2 minutes. Stay with us. It's Midday Matters.
On Fresh Air, you'll hear the questions you wish you could have asked to people like Tom Kenny, the voice of SpongeBob SquarePants.
Did it help to hear what your voice sounded like on helium? Did you learn something about your voice you didn't know before?
Yeah, I learned that I don't really need the helium.
Because it's pretty easy to flick that switch and go right up there.
The most interesting people in show business on Fresh Air. This afternoon at 1 here on WBOI.
On Talk of the Nation, we like to be clear about what we're talking about, whether it's movies.
A B-movie was a movie that was made specifically to be on the bottom half of a double feature.
Or the auto industry.
One mid-level executive at a top automaker told me, well, 30 years ago, we were a car company that would occasionally lend money to our customers, and now we're a bank that makes cars.
Talk of the Nation, clear, straight, open, from NPR News. Tune in weekdays at 2 here on WBOI, Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
Sometimes it seems like the news industry is one big runaway train headed way too fast, destination unknown. I'm Robert Siegel. At All Things Considered, we plan our daily voyage carefully and take the time to see the important sights along the way. Don't worry, we'll still get you where you need to go. All Things Considered from NPR News. Enjoy the journey.
This afternoon at 4 here on WBOI.
This week, we're looking for America in words and music, visiting with Elvis Costello to talk about his devotion to country music and rhythm and blues. Then a conversation with Carla Bley, the witty jazz composer and big band leader. I'm Nick Spitzer. Join me for American Roots from PRX.
Monday night at 7 on WBOI.
In It's 12:21. This is Midday Matters on WBOY. I'm Sean Beter. Today's program is a special pledge drive edition of the show. We're talking about the state of public radio with our general manager, Peter Domanowski. And of course, we are asking for your pledge of support this hour. We have a goal, six pledges, $600. We have had no pledges so far this hour, but we hope the person to change that will be you. 1-800-471-9264 or pledge on our website, nipr.fm. With me in the studio now, we had Dave Hunter. We're playing musical chairs here just a bit. Sarah D'Elia is in the studio. Sarah, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Sean. It's nice to be here with you talking about the station that we both know and love and hoping that people call 1-800-471-9264 to pledge their support to Midday Matters and WBOY right now.
Absolutely. And of course, there are lots of great pledge gifts that our phone volunteers can tell you about. One of our favorites, though, is the member card. And Sarah, you and I both use that around town a whole lot.
We do. We're both members of the station. We get the member card at the $89 level and good for 2-for-1 dining, golf. And I should also say it's good for, you know, different parts of in Indiana, but also in parts of Ohio and Michigan that we also reach out to. And it would be great to hear from folks in those areas as well as we go throughout our pledge drive today. So NIPR.FM, a great way to pledge your support right now.
Absolutely. That's at the $89 level. And if you want to break that down and become a sustainer at Northeast Indiana Public Radio, that ends up being a little more than $7 per month. It's a low impact way on your budget to support us in a big way. We'll have more folks in as the hour rolls on to do some goal updates and chat a little more. Sarah, we appreciate you being with us this hour.
Thanks for having me in, Sean.
Thank you very much. One more time, if you want to pledge your support, be one of the six people to get us to that goal. 1-800-471-9264 online at nipr.fm. And with me in the studio, it's Bob Kaler from the Fort Wayne News Sentinel and Peter Domanowski, our general manager. Gentlemen, thank you very much for being with us on this special edition of our program.
My pleasure.
And it looks like we have a caller on the line. And if you'd like to ask a question or leave a comment with us, give us a call, 800-471-9264, or you can email middaymatters@nipr.fm. And, of course, we have our social media pages up as well. Let's open the phones here and go to Sarah. Sarah, good afternoon. You're on the program.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking the call. My question is to Mr. Domanowski. I really, really, really am saddened and object to the removal of Talk of the Nation as of sometime this summer. I actually think it was an awful decision to make. Now, the powers that be said it was not a monetary decision, that they felt that there should be more program in midday like Morning Edition and All Things Considered. Frankly, I feel if you got 3 hours of Morning Edition and 3 hours of All Things Considered, you don't need another program like that in the middle of the day. Also said was that there's plenty of call-in programs on NPR, so therefore they pulling Talk of the Nation because they don't think that that's necessary. And other than Midday Matters, the only call-in program on your station happens to be Diane Rehm, which is fine. I think the more audience participation that you have, the more listeners that you have. I think it will prove out to be a very, very poor decision because the program they're replacing it with has only got 100-some listeners now. Of course, Talk of the Nation has close to 500.
You're talking about social media?
Yeah, if you have any weight, if you can tell the powers that be don't make this change, it's just a real popular program. I wish you would express that from us, the listeners.
Well, I'd be happy to express that. To the best of my knowledge, this decision is one which is not likely to be reversed, regardless of public outcry. This was a decision, I want to make sure everyone understands, that was made by NPR and NPR alone. Member stations, including WBOI, had no input, no prior warning, no knowledge of this decision. So while I understand that you and many other fellow listeners will be perhaps hurt and upset that the program is no longer going to be available, I do want to say that in some way blaming WBOI for that would be the equivalent of blaming your local General Motors automobile dealer because you can't go down and buy a Pontiac anymore.
General Motors. I would not blame WBOI. I understand that it comes from the national whatever, and I'm not putting any blame there. I'm just asking you, now that you're a general manager, maybe you can take, like you say, it's probably irreversible, but if there's enough of an outcry, maybe there's a little tiny hope of a rethought. I would never blame WBOI.
I appreciate your objective analysis of the situation. Thank you.
Sarah, we appreciate the call. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for the time.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
1-800-471-9264 is the number you can call if you have a question or comment for our general manager, Peter Domanowski. So happens that's also the number you can call to pledge your support to public radio. And, of course, we have our social media pages up today if you want to share your question or comment that way. And you can email middaymatters@nipr.fm. And, Bob, I know you're just itching to get at Peter here, but I want to expand just briefly on Sarah's comment here. This was, as you mentioned, a bit of a surprise to a lot of folks, the cancellation of Talk of the Nation. Where does it leave the midday in terms of stations around the country? It's a big transition.
It is, and it's going to be a big transition, not just for WBOI, but as you suggested, for many stations, for a couple of reasons. Obviously, no program lasts forever, but Talk of the Nation has been around a long time, and indeed, as our caller clearly demonstrated, has its many followers. Another interesting thing that is going to come into play is that the replacement program, if you will, that NPR will be providing for Talk of the Nation, a program called Here and Now, is going to be a two-hour magazine program, but it is not going to be provided to stations and listeners at the same time. It will be provided from 12 noon to 2 p.m. Eastern time. So that will require stations like us, as well as other stations, to decide, A, if they're going to carry this new program, and if so, will they carry it as a news magazine live, just as stations carry Morning Edition and All Things Considered live.
Bob Killer.
Wow. Those are a lot of vexing decisions stacked one on top of the other, because it's what do we do with Midday Matters, which has its fans as well.
Absolutely. That's why stations have professional programmers to hopefully make these decisions. And we realize that whatever decisions we make, we can't please all of our listeners all the time, but we hope to be insightful enough to please most of our listeners most of the time.
And can you pin down the timetable on this a little more? When's Talk of the Nation supposed to disappear, and when's Here and Now going to be offered, and when do you have to make choices on these things?
Talk of the Nation's last broadcast will be Thursday, June 27th. Here and Now actually exists as a program, as an hour-long program right now. I've heard the program, recommended it to stations. I think it's a fine program. It's going to be expanded into a two-hour version. We've not heard any sort of previews, if you will, of how this two-hour program may differ than what's currently available. So obviously, whatever choices we need to make will need to be implemented by July 1st, essentially.
And we did hear in the original announcement that a familiar voice to a lot of our listeners, Jeremy from the
Jeremy Hobson,
Hobson from the Marketplace Morning Report, will be a new host on that show. So we'll be hearing him. A lot of stations will be hearing him in a new spot.
Absolutely.
Bob Kaler.
So what can you say about the change in the size of the radio audience in the whole radio spectrum, and then what share of that does public radio occupy? Is it a growing or a shrinking share of the total radio audience?
Well, it is true to make the statement that radio listening is decreasing. That is a true statement, but it's also, as sometimes facts can be, a deceptive statement. If you go back, let's say, a decade or so ago, according to Arbitron, who is the service that measures radio listening in the same fashion that Nielsen measures television listening in our country, going back 10 years ago and beyond that for many years, 98% of the U.S. population listened to radio at least once a week. So almost universal coverage up until very, very recently. That percentage has gone down to approximately 88%. But even though it is not universal, it is still radio covers the vast, vast, vast majority of people in this country. So the fact is radio listening going down? Yes. But is it still, hugely pervasive in our society? Yes, also true.
It looks like we have a caller on the line here. And, of course, if you want to get in touch with us or if you'd like to make a pledge of support during this Midday Matters program, you can call us 800-471-9264. If you'd like to pledge, visit NIPR.fm. Or if you'd like to leave your questions or comments another way, you can always post on our social media pages, Facebook and Twitter, both up in the studio this hour. Let's open the phones here and go to Kelly. Kelly, good afternoon. You're on the program.
Hello.
Kelly, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Thank you very much. And I've already pledged, so there's no money at issue here.
Thank you very much for your support.
And to people out there who might recognize my voice, call and pledge. Okay. I want to follow on to Sarah's call and pile on how distressed I am that they dropped Talk of the Nation, but even more significantly, I cannot believe they dropped Neil Conan or are going to allow him to resign or retire prematurely. You know, I think back to, I don't know if it was the first or second Gulf War, but he was even kidnapped while in the service of NPR. And I'm just blown away that they would let him go. And I have heard here and now when I have traveled to Boston. And I found it to be as parochial as Midday Matters can be to Fort Wayne. And just wonder how well it will extend nationwide when they already had Talk of the Nation nationwide. Hmm. And I'll do something that sounds kind of like Talk of the Nation's and say I'll listen to the comments on the air. Thank you.
We appreciate the comments and the good words here, Kelly. Thank you very much. Peter Dominowski, again, this is a big change for stations, for listeners, and of course for a long-time voice on NPR, mm-hmm. not just on Talk of the Nation, but Neil has served many roles at the mothership.
Let me answer both of those questions addressing the parochial assertion first. I'm not here to in any way defend Here and Now, but clearly Here and Now, as most good public radio programs do, started off as a local program, as a station-produced program by WBUR, one of the public radio stations in Boston. So depending on how long ago our listener, Kelly, would have heard that show, it indeed may have been primarily a production for local consumption. Over time, and when the program went into national distribution, as it has been the last few years, clearly the program has changed its character, so it may have some Boston issues, but the angles on those would be ones of national interest, and certainly I would assume that the upcoming version of Here and Now would be even more so in that direction. Secondly, I have no knowledge of what will happen to Neil Conan professionally after Talk of the Nation is over, but simply because this program may be ending does not necessarily mean that his involvement in public radio is ending. There's, you know, numerous opportunities for Mr. Conan, should he decide to choose those, you know, to be an independent reporter, or he may be offered a program by another network. NPR is not the only network which produces public radio programming. So only time will tell what happens to Neil.
And certainly public radio hosts and reporters have known to write a book once in a while as well. So we may see him on the,
yes.
We may see him on the shelves. Bob Kaler, before we have to go to a break.
What I've understood is that Science Friday is going to be sticking around. What do you know about that?
Science Friday is going to be sticking around, but it also presents a problem for stations if they choose to broadcast the new Here and Now. If a station chooses to broadcast that, it either has to find a different time for Science Friday to air or justify not airing one edition of a daily news magazine.
That they're paying for.
That they're paying for, plus, you know, one has to put yourself in a programmer's place. Is there a justification to not broadcast one day's worth of Morning Edition or All Things Considered because there's another program there? And so it's a very difficult decision. I've already had some preliminary discussions with NPR about Science Friday. I'm not at liberty to discuss what those involve, but we are going to try to retain the program, but perhaps in a new and creative way if NPR allows us to do so.
We do need to take a quick break here. In the meantime, we hope you'll get in touch with us at 800-471-9264 with your questions or comments for Peter Domanowski. You can also leave a message on our Facebook page or tweet us. It's at Midday Matters. And of course, this is a pledge drive edition of our program, and we hope you'll support this with a financial contribution. We've had two pledges so far this hour. Just four more will get us to our goal. To make that pledge, you can use that same number to get in touch, 1-800-471-9264. Pledge online at nipr.fm. Stay with us. It's Midday Matters.
On Fresh Air, you'll hear the questions you wish you could have asked to people like Tom Kenny, the voice of SpongeBob SquarePants.
Did it help to hear what your voice sounded like on helium? Did you learn something about your voice you didn't know before?
Yeah, I learned that I don't really need the helium.
Because it's pretty easy to flick that switch and go right up there.
The most interesting people in show business on Fresh Air. This afternoon at 1 here on WBOI.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Northeast Indiana Public Radio. I'm Sarah D'Elia with WBOI News. Indiana's private sector lost 11,000 jobs in March, breaking a 20-month streak of job growth. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith reports.
Indiana's unemployment rate remains steady, holding at 8.7%, but the state saw its first decline in jobs since mid-2011, led by losses in the trade, transportation, and utilities sector, which the Department of Workforce Development attributes to uncertainty in the market and unseasonable weather. Workforce Development Commissioner Scott Sanders says March's numbers confirm there's more work to do in strengthening the Hoosier economy. That echoes comments made earlier this week by Governor Mike Pence as he stumped for passage of his 10% income tax cut.
Even though we've seen strong job growth since the depths of the recession, job growth is not as strong as we'd like. We need more high-wage, high-demand jobs in Indiana.
House Minority Leader Scott Peleth says the Pence tax cut is the only effort still alive in the General Assembly that will make an immediate difference to the middle class.
Helping the middle class is the first priority. I think there's better ways to do that than with the tax cut. But if that's the only game left in town, then the governor's way is better than the legislature's way.
Republican legislative leaders have instead proposed a mix of tax cuts, including a portion of the governor's income tax cut, a continued reduction in the corporate tax rate, and elimination of the inheritance tax. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith.
And Indiana residents will be able to dispose of unused prescription drugs at state police posts throughout the state on Saturday. The Federal Drug Enforcement Administration is sponsoring the sixth nationwide Prescription Drug Take-Back Initiative. The initiative seeks to prevent prescription drug abuse and theft. Anybody with unwanted, expired, or unused prescription drugs can drop them off for free at any post except for the toll road post. Only pills and liquid medications will be accepted. New or used needles will not. The medications will be accepted at the state police posts from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday. While attendance declines at Indiana's riverboat casinos and bingo halls begin to disappear, fraternal lodges are picking up the slack. The Journal-Gazette reports lodges have begun offering games like poker, roulette, and blackjack with proceeds going to charity. That's especially true in Allen County, where clubs made more gross receipts off charity casino games than any other county in the state during the fiscal year that ended June 30, 2012. Fraternal organizations and veterans clubs that obtain an annual charity game night license can operate casino games 3 days a week. Clubs are restricted to using volunteers to run the games and can only be open at certain times during the day. They cannot be open more than two consecutive days. It was a tin cap sweep this past weekend at Parkview Field. WBOI's Doug Gruber has the results.
The Tin Caps hosted the Lansing Lugnuts for the weekend series and led off Friday night with a 7-3 win. Saturday, they came back from a 4-0 deficit to bang out 21 hits and a 17-8 win. Sunday afternoon, Defiance Ohio native Justin Hancock shut out the Lugnuts on two hits over 5 2/3 innings, and the Tin Caps stretched the win streak to 3 with a 7-5 win. They now travel to Bowling Green for 3 games and return to Parkview Field Thursday night to start a 6-game homestand. For WBOI News, I'm Doug Gruber.
Taking a quick look at the WBOI weather forecast, mostly sunny this afternoon, expecting a high near 64. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low of 44. Showers and a possible thunderstorm are likely Tuesday afternoon, mostly cloudy with a high near 65, dropping down to 39 Tuesday evening. You're listening to 89.1 FM, WBOI Fort Wayne. Now back to Midday Matters.
Minutes before 1 o'clock. I'm Sean Beter, and this is Midday Matters, a special pledge drive edition of our program. We'll get back to our discussion with our general manager, Peter Domanowski, and Bob Kaler in just a few moments. First, though, Sarah D'Elia, your All Things Considered host, joins me in the studio to give us a bit of an update on how we're doing on our goal this hour. This is the pledge drive, Sarah, and we had a goal of 6 callers.
Yes, and we've heard from 2 people, and we thank them very much for pledging their support at 1-800-471-9264, but need to hear from about 4 more folks, Sean, so we can stay on track with our goal, and we have just about 18 minutes to do that. So time to get off the fence and start pledging.
Absolutely. 1-800-471-9264, or you can pledge online at nipr.fm. Just 4 people will get us across the finish line for this hour of Midday Matters, and we certainly hope you do, because as we've mentioned, our listeners are a gigantic part of our annual budget. They're the reason we can, we can even put that, turn that tower on.
Absolutely, Sean. It's true. And, you know, there's always a core group of folks that will pledge every pledge fund drive. And we thank them so very much for being such loyal listeners and helping pay and provide for the programs like Midday Matters or All Things Considered or Morning Edition. But we need to hear from new folks and widen the WBOI family. So if you've been listening to Midday Matters and Sean and I for however long you have been and you've never given before, it would be great to hear from you at 1-800-471-9264 or online at nipr.fm.
That's right. If Midday Matters has helped you connect with the Northeastern Indiana, Northwest Ohio community, if you value local programming like this, we certainly hope you'll chip in a few dollars at 800-471-9264 or nipr.fm. Be one of just a few people to help us get to the goal this hour. Sarah D'Elia, host of All Things Considered, thanks very much for joining me here for that update.
Thanks very much, Sean.
We're going to continue our conversation now on the state of public radio and the state of Northeast Indiana Public Radio with our general manager, Peter Domanowski. Bob Kaler from the Fort Wayne News Sentinel is with us as well. And gentlemen, it looks like we have a few callers on the line, folks who have been waiting patiently to get through. So let's open the phones here and go to Daniel. Daniel, good afternoon. You're on the program.
Yes, good afternoon. So I have a general question that leads to a specific question. The general question is, what are some of the goals for local programming and both continuing and perhaps having some new programming? And I specifically wonder about documentaries that might be able to look at new opportunity for our region, in that I've mentioned some of the ammonia, green energy, and green job stuff that I look at for the area, but
sure.
I just haven't been able to really get enough together to where the story is well told. So, and then if we have more money in our area, then that can help NPR as well. So,
sure.
That's the question.
Well, let's put it to you, Peter Domanowski. I know we've had some, you and I, in fact, have had some initial conversations about local programming priorities, even some documentary ideas. Where do you stand right now?
Well, our ultimate goal and our number one priority in terms of station-produced programming is to provide coverage of our community that tells stories and provides coverage of the issues and events in Northeast Indiana of the same quality that NPR provides coverage about the nation and the world. That's job one as far as we're concerned, and we're going to be continuing to take steps to try to provide more stories of lasting consequence, stories that provide something that's memorable and distinct and unique for our audience, and, you know, that they can't find anywhere else. It's unique to this area. So we talk about the important issues in the community consistently and provide forums for both community leaders as well as listeners to weigh in on them.
Daniel, we appreciate the call. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. 1-800-471-9264, or you can always get on our Facebook page or send us a tweet at Midday Matters if you have a question or comment for our general manager, Peter Domanowski. And it just so happens that because this is a Pledge Drive edition of our program, you can pledge your support at that same number, 800-471-9264. And we certainly hope you will this hour. We have another caller on the line here. Let's go back to the phones and see if we can get Elena on the phone. Elena, good afternoon. You're on the program.
Good afternoon. I would like to reiterate my some of the earlier sentiment about keeping Science Friday. I heard a report not too long ago that the majority of Americans do not understand science, and Science Friday helps the lay people understand more of it. So, and it would encourage our younger people to go into sciences.
Peter Domanowski, Elena's sentiment, I think, is echoed by a lot of data and a lot of additional sentiment around the country.
Well, Elena, I'm happy to say that we very much agree with you, and we're going to do everything within our power to keep Science Friday on our schedule, if it's at all possible.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're
Elena,
welcome.
We appreciate the call. Thank you very much. Just a little more than 10 minutes left in the program here. So if you have a question for our general manager, Peter Domanowski, or if you'd like to make your pledge of support, give us a ring, 800-471-9264, or you can pledge online at nipr.fm. Peter, this is as we've heard and as we've talked about, it's a difficult transition. But thinking back on the timeline of public radio history, there have been some big shakeups. Are there opportunities in this as well?
Well, of course, there are always opportunities, even in crises, and I certainly wouldn't call this a crisis. I mean, public radio has a tradition of having programs that are extremely long-lasting, things like, you know, All Things Considered, that have been around literally since the 70s, and Morning Edition since 1980, and there are few, if any, programs on commercial or cable TV that even can, you know, come close to matching that. The way that our funding model works kind of encourages that consistency. If listeners appreciate a program, if they listen to the program and they support the program, more often than not, that program is going to stick around. But as we see here, there are the occasional exceptions for whatever reasons NPR had to, after a couple of decades or longer, cancel a program and try something new.
We do need to take just a quick break here. We'll be back in about 90 seconds. In the meantime, we hope you will get in touch. 800-471-9264. Or you can get on our Facebook page, send us a tweet, or email middaymatters@nipr.fm. And, of course, we hope you'll make your pledge of support this hour at the same number, 800-471-9264, or on our website, nipr.fm. Stay with us. It's Midday Matters.
On Fresh Air, you'll hear the questions you wish you could have asked to people like Tom Kenny, the voice of SpongeBob SquarePants.
Did it help to hear what your voice sounded like on helium? Did you learn something about your voice you didn't know before?
Yeah, I learned that I don't really need the helium.
Because it's pretty easy to flick that switch and go right up there.
The most interesting people in show business on Fresh Air. This afternoon at 1 here on WBOI.
Sometimes it seems like the news industry is one big runaway train headed way too fast, destination unknown. I'm Robert Siegel. At All Things Considered, we plan our daily voyage carefully and take the time to see the important sights along the way. Don't worry, we'll still get you where you need to go. All Things Considered from NPR News. Enjoy the journey.
This afternoon at 4 here on WBOI.
Good afternoon. It's 9 minutes before 1 o'clock. This is Midday Matters on WBOY Fort Wayne. This is a special pledge drive edition of our program. We're talking with Peter Domanowski, our general manager, about the state of the station and, of course, the state of public radio. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment in the last few moments of the program here, call us at 800-471-9264. You can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet. And we had a goal this hour of 6 pledges and $600. We've heard from a few folks so far, but we hope we'll hear from you. If you value local programming, local connections to your community, please pledge your support right now by calling that same number, 800-471-9264, or go online to nipr.fm. Bob Kaler.
When you listen to National Public Radio and you listen to NIPR stations, you both hear a lot of recognition of some big gifts from foundations. Will foundations be there to create a new, larger income for NPR or for public radio stations, or to take up some of the slack if other sources of income fall off?
Bob, I'm not an expert in foundations. Certainly there are foundations in this community that have been very generous supporters of our stations, and we hope they will continue to be. But on the national level, for example, to kind of do the worst case scenario that at some point comes where all government funding is cut off entirely, are there foundations or other entities of that sort to step forward and make up that gap? I would say absolutely not, and not even close.
Is there another Mrs. Kroc who loves...
talking about Joan Kroc, the hamburger right. heiress, as it were, right. who gave a significant amount of money to National Public Radio.
Yeah. No, I think that we have been in public radio moving much more toward a listener-supported model, and I think we will continue to be moving in that direction where, folks that are listening to us right now will continue to make that decision whether what they're hearing on our stations are of value to them and if they are willing to step forward and support it. And that's really one of the amazing things about public radio that we often just, don't take a moment to appreciate. There are literally millions and millions and millions of people in this country that voluntarily step forward to pay for something they could use for free. And they do it month after month, year after year. What other business in this country has ever been or could be successful on that model? That shows, to me, the incredible power of the kind of information and programming we provide, that so many people will step forward with such large sums of money and voluntarily provide it so we can continue doing what we're doing. It's an amazing model. It's a kind of crazy model sometimes, but it's just absolutely mind-blowing when you think about how this all actually works.
Bob, I think your question was apropos here. We have a caller on the line who I believe has a funding question as well. Glenn, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm wondering what likelihood there is that our federal tax dollars will ever be allocated again to fund public radio and public TV. Is there any likelihood that we can ever get that done again?
Well, there are still a relatively small amount of federal dollars that are funding public radio and TV. I can't give you the national data, but that total is approximately 10% for NIPR. That's down, however, considerably, over the past decade or two. Whether that will go away, stay the same, or increase, I think that's up to the folks in Washington, D.C., and mostly out of our control, unfortunately.
Glenn, we appreciate your call. Thank you very much. All right.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. We've reached just about the end of the program here. One more email here from Suzanne. Suzanne says, I second what two previous callers said. Canceling Talk of the Nation is a slap in the face to listeners. We don't need another news magazine or aggregator. We can get that online anytime. What we can't get online is the live caller. Of course, Peter, a lot of folks feel very strongly about this, but ultimately NPR, for a number of reasons, made that decision.
And I will say, and I'm not saying this necessarily because I support this conclusion, but I'm simply reporting the conclusion, that in research that has been done among public radio listeners, the vast majority of listeners, despite the comments we've heard today, prefer news magazine programs. And there's a certain segment of public radio news listeners that simply will not listen to call-in programs. So, there is another side to this.
And as Suzanne says, she realizes that this is not WBOY's doing. We appreciate that note. Suzanne, we've come just about to the end of the program here. And Peter Domanowski, 60 seconds, final thoughts on the state of public radio, the state of our business, and of course, the state of the station.
The state of the station is strong. We have a great hardworking staff. We have fantastic programs from National Public Radio, the BBC, and other providers. But like so many not-for-profits that are service organizations, and we are a service organization, we exist to serve listeners to the best of our ability. We're on solid footing, but we operate in a very thin margin. Many of our operating expenses are out of our control. When the electricity bill goes up, we have to pay it. When network programming costs go up, we have to pay it. So we do indeed depend on you, as we say time and time again during weeks like this, to come forward with the wherewithal that allows us to do our job and serve you better. So thank you for that.
Peter Domanowski is the general manager here at Northeast Indiana Public Radio. Peter, thanks very much for being with us. And thanks for, I know that can be a difficult seat to be in. A lot of media outlets wouldn't operate with such candor, I suppose.
I'm pleased to be here and answer our listeners' questions. Thanks, Sean, for the opportunity.
Bob Kaler, thanks to you as well for being with us this and every week on Midday Matters.
Thank you.
And just in the last few minutes of the program here, we wanted to check in because this is the Pledge Drive edition of our program, and we are raising money to keep programs like Midday Matters on the air. Sarah D'Elia is joining me one more time to give us an update on how we're doing this hour. Sarah, a little bit of momentum at the beginning. We'd like to hear from some folks at the end of the program here.
Yeah, we would, Sean. If we could just hear from about three more people, I know that we can make it to our goal, and we have about 2.5 minutes left in the program to do that. So if you've been thinking about it, you've been waiting to do it, 1-800-471-9264 is the way to get in touch with us, or online at nipr.fm to pledge your support and keep listening to the program and go without any interruptions.
That's right. We would like to thank Linda Kerr. Linda says, I love Diane Rehm's show, All Things Considered. Wait. I love it all. Most of all, I love the calm and connected nature of the programs. Well, Linda, we love you. It's folks like you who can allow us to keep bringing this program to the community. Also, Chase Rollins. Chase, thank you very much for supporting public radio. Now it's your turn. Help us make our goal three people, get us there by calling 800-471-9264 or going online to nipr.fm. Sarah, we did some math before the fund drive started, and we figured out that about $150 is about what it takes to put 1 hour of programming on the air, and that breaks down to what, $13 a month?
About that, yeah. So I would just urge our listeners to think about what you spend $13 on a month. I know personally sometimes it's just on miscellaneous things that don't really add up to much, but I know that if I invest $13 a month in public radio, it's something that's going to help keep NIPR on the airwaves. So we need you to call at 1-800-471-9264. $13 a month, $10 a month, become a sustaining member. It's really important that we have those folks that are willing to pledge every month, and we thank them so very much.
Help us get to that goal. Just about 30 seconds left. One more time, 800-471-9264 if you support this type of local community connection on NIPR, or you can go to our website and pledge nipr.fm. Sarah D'Elia, thanks very much for being with us and checking in on the goal throughout the hour.
Thank you, Sean.
Also, big thanks to our general manager, Peter Domanowski, and to Bob Kaler from the Fort Wayne News Sentinel. This is Northeast Indiana Public Radio, broadcasting from the Madge Rothschild Studios. It's WBOY Fort Wayne and WBKE North Manchester. One more time, NIPR.FM. Pledge your support at 800-471-9264. Thanks so much for listening. Fresh Air is next.